Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Tasmanian Devin here. I'm so pumped to go in to talk with one of our top customers back in Colorado, Boa Builders. And this contractor is doing super cool stuff. And why I wanted to have them on the global megaphone is they went out and wrote a book called Building a Custom Dream Home. And we're going to go through and talk through an education of talking through that book and many lessons learned about them with their construction company and how that ties into the art of construction. Many cool things we're going to be talking about. We're going to get to know Wendy Gechter and Charlie Gechter, the owners of Boa Builders. And so one of the things that I wanted to set the stage for is that every book you read or every lesson learned, tribe, is that you don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know. And why I say that is that one of my first mentors when I got into the construction industry, he said, Devin, here's the deal. When you go out and sell, there's price, service, quality. Pick two, because you can never be all three to all people. And I'm reading through the book and I see pick three out of four. And I'm like, So I started thinking and reading about that. And I'm moving forward after reading this book of price, quality, service. And the fourth one in the fast-paced world is speed. And so speed is a big part of managing all these factors. So pick three out of four. And we're going to go and have a fireside chat with Wendy and Charlie and get to know them, their company, Boa Builders, and about the book, Building Your Custom Dream Home. Here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
So I think my favorite beverage would be a Thai tea. Actually, I like all tea in general, but I really like Thai tea. And I guess if it was going to be alcoholic, I would do vodka because you can put vodka in anything.
There you go. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I'd say any place with my family. So we travel a lot, and to go further, any place that I travel with my family, which is my sister, my immediate family, my sister's family, my parents, and it has to be warm with a beach, probably awesome. My favorite.
Well, we're recording this. These fireside chats are global and timeless. We're between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so there's all kinds of fun family times right now. But what's a recent trip and one story from traveling with your family?
So we went to Mexico. We went to Mexico twice. We never stay at the same place, but we always like to go to all-inclusives, and we love doing the zip lining stuff, and that's been our favorite for the kids and for everybody.
Awesome. So Thai tea, zip lining, and then vodka.
Yes. I haven't tried vodka with Thai tea though, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you said vodka can go with anything. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena we passionately call the art of construction?
Mine would be hiking. I love hiking. Last year I did a 52-week hike challenge, which just means we do 52 hikes in a year and they all have to be different and they all have to be over 2 miles. Huh. And I did that last year, and that's probably my most favorite thing.
Okay, so 52 hikes in Colorado, I'm assuming most of them. What was your favorite one?
Most of them, but my favorite one was probably in Hawaii. So we did a lot in Hawaii. And so my most favorite one was probably in Hawaii. We crossed a volcano, pretty much a dead volcano.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Wendy. Charlie, same for you. Are you ready, my man?
I'm ready.
All right. So what's your favorite beverage?
Well, I'm going to have to probably go the kind of the boring route, I guess, would be the thing. But I just drink a lot of water. I've never been a tea or coffee guy, even with all my background. Everybody's always tried to get me to like a certain tea or coffee, and I just never have. So I never got hooked on it, and I figured I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, there's no reason that you need to do that. If you're good with the pure water, go for it. What's your favorite place you've traveled?
It would have to probably be to Costa Rica. It was a anniversary my wife and I took years back, and we kind of did our own trip and traveled around the whole country and did certain parts, and we drove and sightseed throughout the whole country, and it was a very very fun trip.
Cool. One story from Costa Rica.
Oh, geez. Probably the driving there, it's quite different from here as far as the quality of roads. And you're driving down a highway and we come around a corner and there's a tree down across the road, and somebody had essentially used a chainsaw and cut a little section out so you could drive around it. It was a pretty standard thing there, I guess.
There you go. The what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena?
I'd say anything outdoors. I haven't gotten too much last year, but snowboarding would probably be the bigger one. We've both our kids into either skiing or snowboarding, so I've been able to go up with a local ski area we have close by and been able to do that a lot with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Charlie, so I'm going to turn it back to you, Wendy, the husband-wife team of BOA Builders. What's the story and what the roles you play that led you up to BOA Builders running this awesome construction company?
So we are a smaller company here in Grand Junction, Colorado. We do lots of big work, though. My dad started the company back in the 80s and then retired in about 2014, and we took it over at that point. Charlie does all of the, he can tell you a little bit more, but he does all of the site management, project management work for all of our projects. He is the main guy. He talks to the customers. He talks to the subcontractors. He's the main guy. And then, like you said earlier, I am a real estate agent, but I actually, and that's pretty recent, I started doing the design work and working with all of our custom clients and doing our spec homes, the design part of it. So I would meet with them, do design work. I did the bookkeeping and the everything else. I would say the everything else in the office side of things. But since then, we hired an office manager, and she does the office management and the bookkeeping. I continue to do the real estate side and some design work, and Charlie's still out there managing projects.
Awesome. So you're the art, and then the of, all the stuff in between, that you were of everything, and now you're elevate and delegate to have an office manager. That's super cool, and doing the real estate license to pull all that stuff together. And Charlie, you're the construction guy, huh?
I am, I would say. I do all the, I guess, day-to-day operations of making sure subs are on the job site if they need to be, and what questions we have, and coordinating that with the homeowners to make sure that they understand those decisions we need to make and how they'll impact their life and the house going forward, and making sure that those are all done correctly.
Awesome. And on the intro, I talked about how a lot of my questions I'm going to be asking today are kind of in a third party story after I got to read the book, and that's where we're going to go next. So I'm going to kind of ask the question, if I was a homeowner or something for the Art of Construction tribe to think about, some golden nuggets that we pulled out of the book. So Wendy, why did you write a book? What's the name of this book? Let's set the stage around the conversation around building a custom dream home.
Yeah, so it's Building a Custom Dream Home. It's what you need to know. And so we really wrote the book to educate the clients. This is, we talk to clients all the time, different clients that want to come and build a home, but we continuously get the same questions and the same information that somebody doesn't really know. So the book was to help educate clients about those questions that we receive so that they're more informed when they talk to us.
Awesome. Charlie, and kind of what are some of the things that the book's going to provide for us that we're going to talk about?
There's a few different things. Kind of, I think one of the big things is understanding the process of what that custom construction process is from start to beginning. And it breaks it down into very easy sections, steps on what they should expect, what to look for, what kind of questions. It provides checklists for them to make sure that they're on the right track before they actually build, before they even pick a builder out.
Awesome. Well, we've set the stage. Well, let's dive in, and I'm going to ask some questions for you from pulling out of the book to put you on the spot and talk through all the stuff that you put out there. So Wendy, what is some of the top lessons that you've learned by being a contractor and writing a book?
So let's see. One big lesson learned was assemble your team first. So we've had we like to get your builder, your architect, your lender, even your real estate agent. If you haven't even had, if you don't even have a lot, we like to get the real estate agent involved as well. And your trusted partner, your trusted advisor, right? All of those trusted partners that you have, get that team together first. We have, just to describe a story, we had one guy that came to us who already had his lot and already had some plans, and he didn't get his team first. He didn't get his builder. So he didn't know that the soils were bad on his land, and he didn't realize how much his house was going to cost. So when it came down to, by the time he came to us and we said, this is going to be an $800,000 to a $1 million house, he said, well, I budgeted $500,000. And it wasn't going to work for him. So I would say one of the big lessons learned would be assemble your team.
Awesome. Charlie, anything you'd add to that?
Maybe part of that, and part of it's your team. Wendy already talked about, you know, lender, architect, all those. Part of that is with the lender, as we always say, make sure that the funding is in place. So a lot of people say, oh yeah, I can qualify for 400 or 200 or whatever their budget may be. It's to make sure that they've actually talked to a banker or a mortgage lender or however they're going to fund that project, make sure they're pre-qualified and the full cost of everything, including loan costs. We also had a different client that had worked with the bank. We ended up working with them 6-8 months. They thought they were good, but they had never fully determined what the bank fees are going to be. They ended up being extremely high to what they wanted, and in the end, they weren't able to build the house. So those kind of things, it's just one more thing that if you do it up front, there's no surprises when you're trying to get the project off the ground.
Love it. So what I'm hearing from you is kind of begin with the end in mind and the numbers, the pro formas, that stuff. You better talk about at the beginning, because if you don't, you waste all that time and not have enough money to manage the project. And that's kind of the journey that this book walks you through, and why, if correct me if I'm wrong, you wrote that book to help from the lessons you've already showcased with us, so that it's hard to have those conversations where you've done all that and now you can't build the house, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Like that one client, I think he had invested 1 to 2 years into that project already to get to that point to say, hey, this isn't going to work. He just wasted 2 years of his life, money, that kind of thing. When at the very beginning, if you would have had that idea, he could have designed that to meet his budget and it would have worked out for him.
Awesome. So Wendy, as a custom builder, when you think about a project, what is your deepest desire for the people in which you build their custom home for them?
So my deepest desire for our clients and for our customers is really, and it's what we are as well. It's be understanding, be kind, and communicate. We pride ourselves on our communication and our quick responses to people. And we would hope that they would do that as well. A lot of our book talks about just communicating with your builder, even if you don't like something, what you don't like, what expectations are, that communication. So those would be my deepest desires: communication, kindness, and understanding.
Anything you'd add there, Charlie?
I think those three just kind of go to the fact that our goal is, when we're building a custom home for a person, is most of the time that person's going to be in their house for the rest of their life. And so those three being, you know, the communication, that it really will make that project move forward and be a good experience for them, because even if they have got the finished product, but they hated the whole process of it, it can really put, I guess, a bad spin on that whole dream house for them, where they had so many problems, you know, the year of construction or 2 years that it took to build it or whatever it is. And it can literally just change the whole fact that even though it's the house that they wanted at the end, that whole process just made it horrible for them.
Yeah. The emotional, or that you could be scarred from the process, right?
Yes, for sure.
So we don't have enough time and money, and the book talks through that. Can you kind of talk through, you know, where should we really dissect this thing and where should we spend the money? Because I don't know about you, Art of Construction Tribe, but I'm just trying to make it work with what I got. So Wendy, talk us through kind of the priority list, or where should I spend my money to make this work?
Okay. So in the book, we kind of talked about a few different things. We talked about location. We talked about putting money into design services, into your kitchen, your family room, your master bath, your rooms, and the room sizes and closets. So those are just a few. I mean, that was kind of a long list for everybody to keep tabs on, but just a few things to spend your money on. And one of the big things, and I'll let Charlie talk a little bit about location, because location is a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. If you know, there's a cheap lot and everybody says, oh, you know, it's a good discount, you know, that's what we're going to do it. A lot of times there's a reason for that. And so is it because they're going to build a gravel pit right across the road, or is it because the soils conditions, at least in our neighborhood, and I think a lot of places across the U.S. is the same way. Soils can be a difference between a $10,000 foundation and a $100,000 foundation. So there's a lot of those things that, you know, maybe you're planning on being in the house for 5 years or 10 years or 30 years, but at some point, more than likely, you might have to sell the house. And so a lot of that location comes down into being able to sell it for what you want out of it, those kind of questions. Or there's a lot of different problems that could arise if you're in a bad location, even though it's a cheaper lot at the start.
I love your example of the foundation. And those are the things I think a lot of time the homeowners are thinking about, the school, where they work, and the stuff that is obviously super important about your lifestyle. But there's the construction decisions that are super important. And that's why you need a general contractor to help you. The location, you know, from the real estate buy sell, from the proximity, but you're talking about the actual site itself is a big part of the location when it comes to choosing your lot.
Correct. Yep. And that's one of our first initial things is soils reports. And because, like I said, it can make a big difference, you know, $100,000-$200,000 difference on the house price just based on that location.
Awesome. So look, make sure you got the right location. And then you talked about design services, and we'll expound about that a little bit later as well. As then next is the kitchen, family room, master bath, your different room sizes to make it all work. And then closets is a good framework. So cool stuff that you can read the book and get more details about. So we said kitchen third. So I always talk about the kitchen, but you know, when do you say you're a real estate agent as well? So what's so important about the kitchen anyway?
So the kitchen is our gathering place, right? Everybody gathers in the kitchen, and it doesn't matter how big any other room is. People go to the kitchen. So I know that, and in the book, it's chapter 14, they talk a lot about, or it's not chapter 14, it's a different chapter, but chapter 14 talks about resale, and I'll get to that as well. But lots of people, when the guys don't think about the kitchen so much, and they say it's not such a big deal, but even everybody should think about the kitchen as that gathering spot. They want to make it nice, make it easy, make it easily accessible. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is resale value. And so I'll talk a little bit about resale value, and they talk about that in chapter 14. We talk about that a lot. On average, and I know everybody says, this is my dream home, I'm going to be here forever. On average, people live in the house 5 years and then they move. And a lot of times people look at the kitchen for that's what they're looking at when they go into a house and they want to buy a house. They want a nice kitchen. So I think that's why we talk about don't underestimate your kitchen.
Awesome. The heart of the home, right, Charlie?
That's for sure.
Or maybe the shop for him. As it says in the book, but.
The shop for Charlie, but you also got to have a good meal to be comfortable in the shop too. Right? Awesome. Well, can you talk a little bit about needs versus wants when it comes to the design outline?
So it's kind of a process where we, at the start of our design process with clients, is we have them write down their needs and their wants, both individually and together. It really gets at a good idea of what it is a need. If a certain size square footage is what they need, or is it just something that they want? And of course, that all ties into their budget. And there's a lot of things on the front end on the design, as far as the room sizes and the kitchen size, those kind of things, they can't be changed later. Of course, finishes can. And so it's those finishes, at the start of it, if it can't fit in the original budget, maybe you go, you know, one step below what they wanted. But it's a lot of things are, they add up fast. We'll say it that way. On, you know, on, oh, it's $500 a fixture and we want to add this. And oh, it's only $200 here. But when you add all that up to a house, it could easily be, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 over a budget. And if that breaks the deal for them and they can't build their dream house, that's what we want to prevent. So it's trying to talk about those kind of things early on as soon as possible.
Awesome. So make sure the dream comes true. And you talked about light fixtures. That's something that you may be able to change down the line. So your dream house, it's the bones and the kitchen and those, the lot, things that you can't change is what I'm hearing from you on, where you're helping them guide this design outline to get them to their dream home.
Yes, absolutely. And if at the end we've got some extra money in the budget, maybe some of those wants then can be worked back into the project. But that way, the basis of the project is sound from the start.
Love it. So under promise, over deliver. Anything you'd add to that, Wendy?
I don't think so. Charlie described that one great.
Attaboy, Charlie. So Wendy, do you recommend that people should use the fixed price or a cost plus contract, or does it not matter? What, talk us through that.
Yeah, so BOA Builders, we use cost plus contract, and we like cost plus because people can see exactly what they're getting. So the difference, a fixed price contract, somebody could come to me and say, here's everything, and I could say, great, I'll build you that for $500,000. But you usually pay a little bit more for fixed price because the builder has to build in the market, whether it goes up or whether it goes down or anything like that. However, with cost plus, we end up showing the customer gets all of the invoices. They see everything. They know exactly what they're getting. They know the profit. They know the overhead. So there is a difference there, but they know what that profit is. They know what the overhead is. They know all of their prices to the customer. And so I think that's why we like it. But some people don't want to deal with that as much. And so those people that don't want to deal with that and they just want one standard fee, I think there is a difference. There's a difference for people, and sometimes a fixed is good for them. But you will probably pay more for a fixed cost contract.
Yeah. And I love that analogy, but in the cost plus, and you talk through open book, but you better have a system in place. So do you use a platform, Charlie? Are you using one of the different construction tools to help paint that picture for your clients?
Yes, we do. We try to integrate a lot of technology into what we can do. And so we use CoConstruct. It's an online system that the customer gets access to. They can access it from anywhere that they have a web browser or an app. They get an app they can put on their phone. And so with our clients, we give them access to that, and they can see from day one exactly all the individual costs. And then as invoices come in, they can see them. They can see the up-to-date budget the day or the minute that we put invoices in. So they can always see exactly where they're at. If there is any change orders, they approve them online through CoConstruct, and then they immediately see the effect of what it's going to do on the overall budget.
Awesome. I love hearing what tools people are using. So there you go, plug for CoConstruct. So next I want to talk through the plan. So Wendy talked through the design, and we're kind of getting into the construction now. So Charlie, I want to steer this over to you. If I'm a homeowner, or if I'm someone looking at doing this, when should I buy a plan or get a custom design? What's your take on how to make this all work, of having the piece of paper come to life?
Yeah, there's a lot of different companies out there that will buy them. I think our preference, or what we would suggest to clients even throughout the U.S., is to probably work with a local architect to get a plan. And even if that's a custom plan through that architect or draftsman, or what different areas call them different things, or if they have a stock plan. The reason why we suggest that and why we do that here with ours is those architects and draftsmen are familiar with all the local codes, all those different plans, which I can build something here and then move 50 miles away to a different jurisdiction and it might be completely different. And so the problem with a lot of those national plans is you're paying a certain fee when you get it, you might have to make a lot of different changes on it. It might not work on the specific lot that you're trying to get. As lots get harder and harder to get or to find, because of course they don't make any more land, those lots are harder to make standard, I would say standard houses fit on them sometimes. And so there's a lot of different design aspects that might need to be changed. So I think in the end, you're paying more, even though the plan off the internet might seem like a good deal up front. By the time you get it, you'd make your modifications and make sure it fits all the local codes, you actually spend more money.
Yeah, great insight. So the money you think you're saving up front, it's better off having someone that understands the local municipalities and your actual site condition to put those on paper to make sure it's going to work versus taking something else and fitting it to the local conditions, right?
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. So I'm just going to put it out there. You'd put it on the book a little bit, but everybody just wants to come right out. And we've went through in my organizations, many proven sales systems like Sandler Sales and all kinds of stuff to deal with the dreaded price question where people just want to shop 10 builders and 10 window suppliers and 10 podcasts and everything. Just get that, you know, so I'm just going to say it, Wendy, how much do you charge for me to build my house there in Grand Junction?
Well, I love this question. this is my favorite question, or not. I'm not a big fan of the question, just because things here, and Charlie kind of described it earlier when he talked about our $20,000 foundation to $100,000 foundation. That exact same house, I can put that exact same house on a lot with good soil, and the exact same house on a lot with bad soil, and we're $100,000 difference. So it's so hard to estimate costs. And so everybody says, oh, how much are you a square foot? $200 a square foot, $150 a square foot, or this person can build for $100 a square foot. Well, they might, but your finishes are different. The level of quality is different. The type of construction is different. The size of the home is different. There are so many different choices that can change to be able to estimate that cost, to be able to say anything like that. Charlie has a good example of a home, of a rectangle, a square and a rectangle. And just, I'll let him talk a little bit more about that.
So essentially on a small scale, it's taking a rectangle with the same square footage as a square with the same square footage, you get different linear feet. And so if you're talking to a drywall contractor for pricing, it's, even though it's the same square footage on per se a house, it's a different linear foot, which means the drywall is different on the walls, that kind of thing. So that just alone, the same square footage can cost different. And so I think I read a saying one time of, how much do you charge for a house? It's the same question of if you ask somebody, well, how much does it cost to buy a new car? It can be $10,000 or it can be $100,000. It depends on what you're doing in that car or the house, where you're building it, options, all those different things that we have to go over in the design process.
Right. In the parallel of the car, at least the car, there's a manual of the options of the good, better, best. With the house, you got so many options from within. I own a window and door company, and we lose so many times if we're just the low one. Give me another quote that's, they just look at the bottom line price. Yeah. All those things can be drastically. So let's flip this upside down. If you were a homeowner, Charlie, what would you suggest instead of a homeowner saying, how much do you charge when they're qualifying different builders? What would you say is a really good question to qualify who should build my custom dream home?
I think it's more about reputation and quality. And it's the, hey, can I, you know, look at a couple of the houses that you built, that you're building right now, to look at the quality of it. Can we talk to some of the past clients to see how they like it? You know, they might've been in the house for a year or two. It's those kind of questions. And I understand everything in the world now, and I guess it always has, is it is centered around price. But there's also those other things. If you're working with that builder for 6 months or a year or 2 years, it's a lifelong decision to who you pick. And so, yes, this builder next door might be able to charge $5 less a square foot. But if the house isn't good and they had problems and there wasn't good communications throughout the process, or those type of things are what you need to factor in when you're trying to find a builder.
Awesome. Anything you'd add from that perspective, Wendy?
I don't think so. I think that was good.
Awesome. Yeah. The big thing is just getting that trust built up. And the world of the noise with so much automation and so much technology, it still boils down to trust and testimonials and do what you say you're going to do and have a third party story come in and tell the story for BOA builders. Right, Charlie?
Yes, for sure.
So one of the parts I loved of the book, it was called Welcome to Art Class. And I'm going to add Welcome to Art of Construction Class, about creating a dream home notebook. Wendy, can you talk through a little bit about that of the book?
Yeah. So chapter 18 talks about your dreams, right? And that's the design. That's this art part. And it really talks about creating kind of that journal, not just the needs and the wants. We talk about creating needs and wants, but we also talk about creating a journal of dreams and what you would like in your home. What are those things? And that really resonates back to what are people forgetting to tell us? Because a lot of times people might forget to tell us something or say, oh, I always wanted this. And we've already picked out. Maybe I always wanted a huge, you know, window, sliding glass window, like the one that we're here, that's sitting right next to us right now. But they forgot to tell us those types of things, these dreams of having huge windows or huge sliding glass doors. And we're already past that point of the architect, of building, of the actual architecture of designing the home. And so the home's already designed and now we're picking windows and we don't have this huge window in there. So we just want to, we like to talk about that, the art and what that dream is for them.
Super cool. So is that something you kind of template out then, or is that, Charlie, is that a something in the book that could help us with this?
Yeah, I think we use, and again, on the technology side, we fully encourage, there's so many different platforms of, if it's House or Pinterest or taking pictures when they're driving around, going to the local parade of homes, looking at that, taking pictures, saving those on a computer and sending it to us, or saving it in a binder. There's so many technologies helped with a lot of that kind of stuff, and having to, instead of having to print out 80 pictures and bringing them in, they can save them on House or Pinterest and digitally send those over, so we know what they're looking for and what those dreams are. And maybe they are looking at a $200,000 wing on their house and that's their dream. And maybe we can't do that, but maybe we can take that idea and be able to work it into their house somehow.
Cool. So you talk about financial smarts. Can you talk some of the highlights here?
Yeah. So that's all the whole lender, banker, mortgage, however they're going to finance this project. Reason why we say that is one of the number one things to go first is that is going to make all those other decisions, the land, the size of the kitchen, the size of the rooms, all of that's going to be dictated off their budget. You know, a $200,000 budget is going to be completely different than $400,000. And so be able to talk to a banker that, again, is well-known in the area, that works well with customers, that works well with builders. We've had multiple clients start with one bank and, you know, we've heard, hey, they don't work out well, but the customer still went with them. And they wasted, you know, it was a point that, hey, we got to get this build started right away. So, of course, you can't start the build until the construction loan is approved. And so it was all this of stuff ahead of time that trying to make it go fast, whether they want with the bank that just maybe not had the best reputation. In the end, it was probably a 2 or 3 month process. It never worked out. They ended up having to switch banks, and then they just lost 3 months on a timeline where people are, again, that speed that we talked about on your very beginning intro, you talk about one of the things is speed. Well, all of that comes into play, I guess, with, it's not just the build speed of the house. It's all of the banker and the architect and all those involved as well.
Cool. So you talk about don't sweat the small stuff. Why is that, Wendy?
I would say don't sweat the small stuff because we do that for you. So we're the expert. We know the construction industry. We know all of that. And we don't want you, we don't want our customers and our clients to be worried about something in their house or something that might not be going well, because we will take care of that. We have some clients that we're building a house for, and they would go in and they would go in every day. So every day they're allowed to go into the construction zone and check out something, but they would bring up items that would be completed later or would be completed as a punch list, or it's just a timing. So when you do construction, there's a certain timing of how you do certain things and when things happen. And so they were always worried about something not being completed right or completed at the right time. And I think that it may give them a little bit more anxiety. And I just don't, we don't want the customers to do that. We can do that for you. We don't want them to be worried. Don't sweat it.
Yeah. And also you get what you pay for, the whole homeowner builder and all that stuff. Like Charlie, it's been a learning curve. Every house you build, you learn something, right? But in your focus with an approach and a plan using tools like Co-Construct. So what would be your take on don't sweat the small stuff? Let us handle that.
You know, for sure. I think Wendy hit it exactly. Is there's a process. So a lot of times I go in there and you look at something as the builder and say, oh yeah, that's on the plan for next week. That was specifically supposed to look like that now. But the homeowner comes in, they look at it, they're upset. So it's definitely a process and a timeline, like Wendy said, where everything comes together. And of course, if there's a major problem, everybody needs to know about it, but it's all those little things that it will all come together. The finished product is definitely different, right, than when it's all getting put together. A lot of times it doesn't look complete, which it's not until all the steps are done.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts that sometimes it's how the parts fit together sometimes seems backwards if you're not in it every day. So definitely something to think about for you homeowners listening to this. So you had a lot of checklists and a lot of really cool stuff in the back of the book, especially of different tools. And at the end, we'll talk about the show notes and where to go get the book. But one of them that really resonated for me that we're going to have some fun with, and we're going to do a countdown. I'm going to have you go back and forth and go through before you build, you created the 10 be honest questions. Can you share those with the tribe, starting with you, Wendy?
I can do. So number one, before you build, ask yourself this: do I have a hard time making decisions?
So number two, once I make the decisions, do I struggle with wanting to change them?
Number three, am I a perfectionist?
Number four, is my schedule so busy it's difficult to find time to do things I enjoy?
Number five, does uncertainty and lack of control add stress to my life?
Number six, am I regularly disappointed by interactions with other people?
Number seven, do I handle conflict by looking for the win-win solution?
Number eight, do I have some available time in my life for the next 1 to 3 years?
Number nine, am I realistic enough to recognize that things aren't always perfect?
And number 10.
Is our family life stable enough to handle the additional activity?
So those are some big questions that you put out there. I'd be curious, when people fill out these questions for you, how does the process, if they fill out the questions versus not filling out these questions for you?
In this one, we don't necessarily have them fill out this checklist, but we definitely have a discussion about it. So it's more of a get to know you. How are you? How are things going? What do you feel about these things? And I think getting to know them and sitting down with them
So instead of giving them and just say, can you answer these for me? This is much more as I talk on the Art of Construction. We have a pre-interview to dial in the fireside chat. This is a template for when you're sitting down with prospective people to kind of get real about it and ask those questions to understand if you're right to work with each other. Is that what I'm hearing?
Part of it. And then I think the other part is for the, say if it's, you know, a husband and wife building a house, it's for them to go home and talk to each other about it.
Ooh, yeah.
I know that's a lot. But a lot of those,
you mean,
questions,
you don't want to be the full-time counselor as well. You give them a tool for them to go work this out.
Right.
Correct. Because a lot of that is something that they need to go talk and say, are we really ready to build? And I think a lot of people do think they're ready to build. And either through this book or just elsewhere, they decide they don't and they ended up buying. And that's okay for people. We don't want to force building a house onto somebody. We only want to do it if it's right for them and for us to be their builder. If it's not right for them and they're not in that good place to be able to do it, it's not going to be a good process for them or us.
It's so smart. And I just commend you both for taking the time to do this template in this book to say it's a big deal building this, and you guys are taking the time to make sure it's the right partnership, the right time, the right place, all those different things. So in closing, Wendy, what is that crystal ball for connecting these different technologies to the right handshakes for the future of construction?
So we talked a little bit about co-construct, and co-construct is our process. So we talked to the book goes through our process. It goes through guidelines and checklists for the process, but co-construct really is our technology behind all of that. And it helps them with, they can see, our clients can see budgets, they can see schedules, they can see pictures, they can see messages. We can communicate through that co-construct. One of the other things that we do, and I know that you guys do a lot here, is that virtual experience. And so we use Matterport to complete 3D walkthroughs of our homes for any of our spec homes that aren't pre-owned. And so we use some of that. One of the really cool things that I think is coming in the future, it's not necessarily available for us as a small business because it's a little more expensive, but I love the virtual reality world where you can actually have people walk through their home. So you have an architect plan, you then create that and have them walk through that. And then to take it a step further, they actually change selections and pick selections from that home. So they can actually say, I want to see that cabinet in red, or I want to see that cabinet in a charcoal stain, or whatever it is, and they can actually start picking selections. So I definitely think there's so much for the future and for custom building that sounds so neat.
Just awesome.
Big.
So one thing I just want to leave for this podcast is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business. Wendy, what's that one thing you want them to think about to help them grow their business?
Quick response, good reputation, and active marketing. You said one, but I said three.
I love it. All that stuff. My mantra is always be marketing. So I think all that stuff falls into that for sure. Well, Charlie, bring us home. Same questions for you. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and driving the future of construction?
I guess I'll have to kind of piggyback off Wendy's.
Yeah, I think husband and wife using the same co-construct tool, right?
Yep. Co-construct for us, yeah, it really drives. We've been on it for a few years now, and it really has changed our business, I think, as far as what I can do, as far as managing our subcontractors and allowing them to see schedules and them communicating back with us. And it comes back to that communication. And we have a client that's we just finished a custom house for that lived out of state. And we did 95% of our communication back and forth over co-construct with pictures and messages and the budget. So, but I really do think on the horizon that virtual reality is going to be coming down in cost, and it'll be used a lot more, which is good for those kind of spec house clients that they can come in. And a lot of people they can't tell, even looking at blueprints, they can't tell what it's going to look like. A lot of people are hands-on or need to be able to see it. And so those kind of tools will be awesome, I think, in the future.
Awesome. And you had a quote at the end of the book, Charlie, I wanted you to stay, for the Art of Construction tribe, that really hits home with what you guys are all about. Can you end us off with that?
Yes. And it's actually a sign that we have hanging that Wendy bought. It says, hands can build a house, but hearts build a home. So that's awesome. Kind of our mantra, I guess.
Great stuff. Hey, thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story, Charlie and Wendy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been great.
Man, it's so fun to be able to have our local customers bring to you, the global audience, through their book. The book is super cool, and I challenged them, and they just finished this book, and they worked hard to get it onto their website. So go to BOA Builders, B-O-A, builders.com. On the top right, there's a shop tab. You can click on that. $14.95. It's a no-brainer. Get this book. You have to add these tools in your tool belt, beginning with the end in mind, like we talked through with Wendy and Charlie, is that I added another part in my arsenal from this book. And I challenge that you would as well. If you've been building houses for 2 days or 20 years, sometimes you just got to go back to the beginning and put yourself in your customer's shoes. So I'm thanking Wendy and Charlie for sharing their story in the book. Go to the show notes at The Art of Construction. We'll have links there for you to go get the book and check it out for yourself. Hopefully another cool tool for you to grow your business. Crush it out there, tribe.